gotta get messy and show the world you growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get Messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tougher, so you must find a way to feel some connection. You got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you bored of them same rules.
Welcome to the Get Messy podcast. Jenna today stepping in for our fairy art mother, Kaylee Gray. You may know me as Jenna's Tonic on Instagram. I'm continuing the messy conversations with our guardian community. The Get Messy Guardians is a group of Get Messians who volunteer their time to guide and support the Get Messy community. Today, I'm chatting with Jilly Welch about her art practice. Jilly, will you just say hello to everyone?
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
So here's Jilly's short little bio. Jilly is an avid paper lover and creates in some form every single day. She lives on the north coast of Cornwall, UK, regularly walking the coastal path for inspiration. She's constantly learning new skills and loves nothing better than finding different ways to incorporate all or part of these into her art journals. Today, I'm going to ask her some questions about her art practice, so I encourage our listeners to create as we go along here. Jilly, are you ready?
I am ready. Yep, definitely.
All right. So we'll start with the big one. Why do you art journal?
It really helps me relax and to de-stress. And I think in times like we are at the moment, I have noticed I'm not somebody who is normally too bothered about things. I'm usually quite relaxed, quite laid back. But I found recently that I can feel myself getting very anxious, very sort of worked up over things. And I know if I sit down at my desk and I pick up my journal, whichever one it is, and a glue stick and some papers, and I just start putting stuff down, whether I'm going to finish it, whether it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the slightest. But that really, immediately I can feel myself just calming down, and the longer I can sit there, the better it is. So for me, it is just a time to forget everything else, to just do what I want to do. And I can go in any direction. You know, that's the joy of art journaling. There are no rules. There's no preconcepts. Whatever you want it to be. And some days it's minimal, some days it's everything, some days I'm angry, you know, and I can tell how I am to how I'm working. But I know that it will make me feel better.
I love that your focus is on relaxation, because I think that's important for a lot of people to hear, because they might come in with this idea that, oh, I need to be artistic, which is a super loaded word, or I have to make something that always looks good or something like that. And instead, like, that's not even the point for you.
No, not at all. Not, and because I'm not artistic, I'm creative. I love papers. I love color, shapes, textures. I don't know where it's going. And I mean, while I was sort of like just sitting here for sort of 10 minutes, I've got a page that I'd cleaned some brushes on and some stencils the other day. And I've just literally spent, I don't know, 2 minutes, because I'm on my desk, which is always messy. There was some black and white text from a book, and I've now stuck that in. But, you know, it's not finished. It's not done. But, you know, today I have done other stuff, but if that was it, you know, it's something, and it will grow and develop over time, which is what, for me, works the best.
So how do you live a creative life?
Well, as you said in the intro, I do something every day. I don't necessarily art journal every day, although I would normally put something down in a book, even if it's just a layer, or some papers or something. But, you know, I cook. I'm recently got to a lot more into photography. And I love the fact of going out and just looking around what there is. And once you actually start looking with a sort of a photographic eye, you find lots of detail. You're looking for the unusual. You're looking for anything that grabs my eye, you know, whether it's a shape or a leaf or a colour of a leaf or the way the leaves have fallen. You know, sometimes it can just be, oh, look, you know, that's really pretty, you know, that pattern there on the ground. So, and because we do walk such a lot, then there's always something to see. The weather's either different, so the clouds maybe, and a tree that looks boring quite often, suddenly the sun's out and it's caught the glimpse and you think, oh, that looks really nice. So I get inspiration all around, and I'm not very good at doing the same things over and over. I love finding new ways. Yeah, I can't, you know, even if it's like journals, I have to, if I'm making one, it's got to be different to what I've done before. It's either a new way of finding it, or it's a new, I don't know, cover or different papers. I know if I use different papers inside, not just plain ones, or that will stretch me to be more creative because you can't, you've got to do something perhaps a little bit different. And I just love learning new things. I must be an advertiser's dream, I think, because they'll come up with something and I'm thinking, oh, that looks right. And now I don't need any more classes, but
well, and like the Instagram algorithm, it starts to get used to you, and it's like, here's a new art class, here's some like new journals, and you're like, this is evil, but awesome.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I've just done another one today. I think it was Claire. Claire Etheridge. Anyway, she'd just done a Dina Wakely jelly plate one. It was a live one on Facebook, I think. And I thought, do you know what? I haven't had my jelly plate out for ages. And I love it, and I do know what to do. And I thought, well, maybe she's got a different stance. Maybe it's because I love what Claire does. And so I've just signed up. So, but what I think I'm coming to do about the creative life, even though I jelly print and do lots of stuff, there's bound to be something that I will take from it that I didn't know how to do, or didn't think, oh, I didn't realize I could use that, whatever it is, product, because I'm sure I've got it. It's just exciting to see somebody different doing something in a slightly different way, and then I'll be able to incorporate that in what I do. It's the little pieces building together.
I found that I used to get more about like, oh, I have to finish this thing and use this thing up and all that, but I have found I trust myself a lot more increasingly. And then because I've seen in my practice how something loops around and it's like, oh, this was the right time for this thing. It ends up working out. And so I give myself a lot more freedom with that sort of thing now, because it all kind of ends up usually working out in some interesting way for me. Like I impulse purchased some oil pastels because I saw them, Francesca, Season of Bloom. And I was just like, pretty. and then I just really couldn't get a feel for them. And then I started Vanessa's in our heroin class. And then I started using them in that. And I was like, oh, this is how this makes sense to me. And I love how they look. And I found a way to use them and incorporate them in a way I really like. It just needed the right time.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what's so great about art journaling is that it encompasses everything, absolutely everything. And you make it what you want it to be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that actually leads well into our next question. How do you define art journaling?
Well, I think I probably just said it. I think it really is whatever you want it to be on whatever day. You know, I've got so many different journals depending on how I'm feeling or what I'm doing. And, you know, it's lovely to look along and think, yeah, I'm going to use that journal today, or I'm going to try this. Or I read somewhere that art journaling was a form of creative self-care. And I thought, you know what, for me, that's perfect. That's exactly, it's doing it for me. I'm doing it. I'm choosing what I do. I choose what products I'm going to do or what stencils. And I've, you know, it's like, oh yes, today I'm going to use my brayer. Or it's just so freeing that there are no boundaries, no rules. Yeah, and I think anybody sort of starting needs to just not even worry what they've got, just do it. And I think it's the doing it, not the thinking about it or the worrying whether you've got the right things or not things, or is that straight or not straight, or crikey, what's anybody going to think? Just forget it. Absolutely forgetting it, because it's whatever you want it to be, and make the most of that. And yeah, you won't go far. You won't go far wrong.
So you mentioned like creating every day, and I remember seeing you as a part of the Season of Habits. So do you have any particular barriers to creating that get in the way sometimes? And if so, how do you overcome them?
No, I was thinking about this and I don't. However, I am such a messy person because my mind, I think, is going into overdrive a lot of the time, because I'm either on Instagram or I have a quick look at Pinterest, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm a bit like a magpie with anything sort of shiny. Oh, that's a nice idea. I'll sort of keep that for later, and I could be working on something. And then, so I get lots of things out. So my only barrier is that sometimes the space on my desk gets smaller and smaller. And when I end up with my journal on my lap, because there is nowhere to put it, then I know I need to tidy up. However, what I have learned is if I tidy up too much, the inspiration goes. So I cannot, if I'm, it's really hard, isn't it? If I'm wanting to be creative, I need a certain mess. Around me.
A certain mess. Yeah, I think that's really key. A certain mess.
I need things to be able to sort of get my sort of creative juices going, but not so much that I'm either knocking things over, because then that gets stressful. It's totally the opposite to when I cook.
Yeah.
When I'm in the kitchen, I have to have such a clean space. It has to be, yeah, it's in order, it's clean, I know exactly what I'm sort of like doing, and it's there. Whereas in my room with art journaling, or when I'm just creating, I need lots of stuff around, and it is a mess. And I know lots of people would look at it and think, oh, how on earth can you do it? But it helps me, it does help me, but not too much. So yeah, it's getting that balance.
That's funny, because I also, cooking is a creative outlet for me. And I cook pretty similar. Like, my pattern is pretty similar to art journaling. I'm pretty tidy and I clean up as I go. But one thing with art journaling I've found is that it's helpful to like leave out the most recent page or thing I've been working on or finished, because that's inspiration for me. So when I'm feeling like, oh, I don't want to make something, but I see what I recently created and I'm like, hey, that looks really cool. That is also like a good little Kickstarter for me to keep going. Yeah. I've actually used a recipe book holder and put my art journals in it as like inspiration on my desk.
Nice. Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that working. I mean, I just love little bits of paper, so I'm forever tearing them up. And sometimes that's just the inspiration I need. Sometimes it can be, oh, that's a really nice colour. So today I'll use that colour, or I'll use, you know, that. And then what can I have to go with that? Or I might just pick up here, I've got a tea bag, you know, but it had a berries in it, and it's just such a pretty color. I know I'm going to use that one day, but it's just kicking around. I could put it away in a box and tidy it up, but then if it's away, it does look nice when it's tidy. I do like that, but I can't then, it doesn't feed, it doesn't help me then to...
It just doesn't work for you, yeah.
Work at all, no.
No, my old roommate would, when she would cook, she would destroy the kitchen. But man, was it delicious food.
Oh.
So I was happy to be like, I'll clean up, don't worry about it, just you cook. Because you know, that some people, it's just interesting how those different things work for us a little differently. So what's been your biggest lesson when it comes to creating art?
I think, to be honest, if you've got a minute, if you've got 5 minutes, it's amazing what you can get done in a very, very short space of time. And quite often, if I've got a busy day, but I'm at home and I've got a busy day, the first thing I do when I get up is put a layer down. Even if it's just 30 seconds, it might just be a palette knife out, a bit of paint, and I'll just put that on. Then I'll go and have breakfast. Because I know then when I've got another minute or 2 minutes, I can quickly come back up and I'll put something else on. And it's best for me not to think too much to start with. Just get something down. And if you then got a busy day, things will have then dried, which is much better, because if I sit down, I get impatient and then I start, I'll mess pens up or whatever, because I won't I won't wait till it's dry.
Lost so many pens that way.
You know, this is sort of instant gel medium or something, and then that's it, or the felt pen, and it won't ever work again. So I know we're all busy and lead busy lives, but actually realizing that small bits often make a huge difference, and you'll find by the end of the day, or even over a couple of days, or even by the end of the week, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, by the time you've got to the week, that's like 7 minutes, and you can get a surprising amount done. You don't think, I've got to have an hour, or I've got to have all afternoon, or whatever, just little bits, and you'll find that you'll be creating and enjoying what you're doing.
I find your process so inspiring, because I started art journaling before my son was born. And I was used to sort of those uninterrupted periods of time. And now my son, he's 2.5. And that's really how I end up having to work. And it's taken actually quite an adjustment for me. And definitely also, even I would argue, even more appreciation for that being more process oriented, just because, it is, a minute here or there, and then he's distracting me. Or when I've tried to sneak an art time with him and he's doing it with me, I'm like, oh, this is a good excuse for me to do art. But then I look over and he's got paint all over his hands, and it's like, So I really like your process and approach.
I think that has overcome, because I feel so much better. Even if I've just literally, even if it's just that day, the days that I don't get to my desk until perhaps later at night, and it's not the best time, I sort of get cross and that I haven't had a chance. Whereas if I do it first thing in the morning, I know then that I've already done something, and then I'm more keen to think. Because then as I'm working, I'm thinking, so what can I add to that color, or what could be my next step? So I've already thought about it. So the moment I get up here, escape from my own house. But the moment I get up here, I've already thought, right, I'm going to use that color, or I'm going to use that product or that stencil. And then I'll just, do another minute
so
or two.
So it's like that morning layer, it creates your momentum for the day.
Yeah. And then if for any reason I don't get to it till later, at least I know I have actually done something that morning. Yeah. And usually, as I say, by the time I get back to it, it's dry and I can then easily do the next bit. But mentally it helps me, because I'm not thinking all the time, oh, I can't get to my desk, or I've not done anything yet. And I get all sort of tense. So at least I know first thing in the morning before breakfast, I've done a little something.
So that's actually another great lead into our next question. What is the best art advice you've ever received?
Oh, it's really hard. But I think is just don't worry. Be individual. Everybody's individual. And don't compare yourself to anybody. Because you have to ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And I do it. It is hard to stop because you do have a lot of self-doubt, and you do, when you put things out there, think, oh, crikey, when you look at other people's. But I think that's always the case. You know, I'm always looking at other people to think, that's so good, and I wish I could sort of do that or draw or whatever. But I think if you're happy and with what you're doing, and you're doing it for yourself, you're not mm-hmm. doing it for anybody else. I put stuff on Instagram when I want to. I create every day. I don't share everything every day. But it's for me, and however much I want to take from it, sort of to grow myself or not grow or do, it's down to me, and I'm not doing it for anybody else. And I think that was, once I realized that, and, you know, if I'm not happy with something, or I won't necessarily put it out there. I'm not, or if I haven't put something on every day, it doesn't bother me. I know that I'm creating. I know that I'm doing different things that I want to do. And to the rest of the world, well, whatever people want to decide, you know, it's me that I have to answer to.
And the thing is, most people actually really respond to that. They like see when you're true to yourself, it ends up like it creates a snowball effect for others. And so they're drawn to that. I have to remind myself of that a lot.
I'm so not good with words, but I can create. I can almost, I prefer to do it with sort of colors and shapes, and whether there's a lot, whether there's a little, or whatever. And I think that sort of, that helps me, because of the moment I start to try and put words down, and I know it is journaling, and I know there are times when it is great, you know, you might get your thoughts out and then cover it up or whatever. But when I just, I might put words on after I put something on Instagram or whatever, because I don't know. I cringe sometimes at my attempt to, some people can just get it right. And anybody that's worried about it, just don't worry.
So do the words, like, are you saying like the words come for you, like kind of after you've created?
Quite often, yes. But I'm not hung up anymore about the words. Or sometimes I might have got, like, I don't know, not a blank page, but a page without any words. And I'll be scrolling through Instagram or Pinterest, and I'll see a quote, and I think, and that really like resonates with me. And I think, oh, that's amazing. I love that. What page can I, and then I'll have a look through sometimes. I think, oh, that will go, you know, for whatever reason, it will go nicely on that page. So I'll either handwrite it out or type it out or whatever. And and sometimes that comes at the same time, but I don't have to finish. I don't have to think, oh, I've got to put some words on here now, if it doesn't feel right or I'm not sure that that's the right moment sort of to do it. So whereas I think to start with, I used to, and then I look back and think, oh yeah, that's not either quite right, or it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter.
So what is your go-to technique or tool?
I love paper. I collage paper. Collage paper, glue, maybe some scissors or tear, or and you can do it. I did the 100 day project last time with little ATCs, and working small's really good, and just doing tiny, and you use tiny little bits of paper. But I've got boxes and boxes of scraps, bits that seriously people, I can, well, I will have to sort of clear out, I think, before my kids ever decide that they're going to have to sort of like clear my stuff for me, because they'll look through some of the boxes and they'll think, what is this? You know, this box is like come from the bottom of the bin or whatever, but little bits are really interesting. And sometimes just making a page or a small thing with little bits makes me very happy. But I've got boxes with bigger bits. And so definitely my go-to technique to start off with is collage, is and sometimes I even will put some paint down or maybe a little bit of watercolor, and then it gives me a theme or a color. Then I'll look through my books and say, oh, I'm going to use just blues today. What blues have I got? And then you can find different shades of blue. But there's always something interesting that you can do with little bits of paper, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you don't like a page you've made?
I keep going. I will keep going. I'm not very good of having something in a journal that I don't like. Because every time I open it, if I go through it, it's like a magnet. I will stop at that page and I think, I don't like that page. And
I get that, yeah.
It really bothers me. So I will work it. It might not be that day, but I will, because sometimes when you look at it with a fresh pair of eyes, I'll think, oh, do you know what? That just needs such and such. Or if I just put that on there, but I can't have pages in my journal. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some that I'm not overly happy with, but there's nothing actually wrong with them. But if it really jars with me, if every time I look at it I think that's just awful, I can't, you know, for whatever reason, I have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. I won't tear it out. I won't remove it, because usually there's either something on the back or but I will work on it. I will work on it till it's okay. Or sometimes I'll show it to somebody else. That can help, because sometimes you can just get stuck or you can get sort of tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else will look at it and think, oh, you could do, and I'm always open for suggestions. I'm never too humble for anybody to just, I will ask, yeah. And whether I listen, whether I take it on board, I think, oh, no, that's not what I want to do. But sometimes it'll be just right, and it's worth a try. It's always worth a try. There's always more, unless you actually end up with it like, I don't know, an inch thick or something. You can
keep adding layers. You're like, no, not this.
Because that's the other question, isn't it? Sometimes when do you stop? I think you stop when you like it. When you feel enough's enough.
Yeah. Exactly. Have you ever been through artistic block?
No, I think no is the answer. Although we come back to when I have had a serious tidy, which was a little while ago, and it was incredibly tidy, I sat down and there was nothing, absolutely nothing around. And I sat there and it's like, oh, so what am I going to do then? You know, and everything was like away. And that I found incredibly hard. Incredibly hard.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Because normally there's something around that will, as I say, it could just be a colour or a bit of washi tape, or I'll look for inspiration anyway. And then it'll just set me off. But with nothing around, it was, I couldn't cope. I couldn't cope with that at all. It didn't last very long, I will say. But I did remember sitting down and freezing almost, because there was nothing that, gave me the inspiration. So definitely some things around, not too many, but enough to take me down a path that, to start anyway, to start. And also having half pages in journals. Having something, whether it's to say you've cleaned a brush or a brayer or something with something on. So it's not a blank. It's not a blank page.
Yeah. And then that's why I love junk journals.
Definitely. Or just any. Yes. A lot of my art journals, even if when you come to sit down, you end up covering it completely. Usually you can see something underneath it. Or as another layer, but that definitely helps.
Well, so I saw on Instagram that you're doing the 100 days project again, and you have done it for the last 3 years, right? And you've completed it?
Yes, every single time. Three years. The first year I started doing, they were patchwork, but they were all hand sewn. So I just did a row of stitching. I didn't measure. I cut the fabric just to fit. And I think they call it log cabin. So you start with a small bit and you put one piece on so I ended up with lots of different squares, which was really good, really good. I think the next year I did something creative every day. And then last year I did 100 days of ATCs, which was great. It's a long time. So
it is.
It is a long
time. I've completed it once.
Yeah. I'm definitely doing it again this year, but I'm going back to hand stitching. I was given a book on Boro, B-O-R-O, which I think is a Japanese way of reusing garments and patching them and sort of then handing them down. And there's particular sort of stitches called sashiko, sort of like running stitches, and you can have patterns. So I'm going to use an old pair of jeans that I'm going to make into like a messenger bag. It's going to have patchwork underneath, but so the 100 days I will have it finished. So some days I've only got a small amount of time to do it, but the 100 days I need to have it finished. So some days I might have to end up doing a lot depending on how far I've got.
What advice would you give to somebody who was starting a 100 day project? Because clearly you have been successful at it.
Keep it simple. Keep it really, really simple, because the days come around so fast and there's a lot of excitement and inertia to start with because you're keyed up. And then, you know, after like 10 days, you're thinking, oh, this is great. And then you think, crikey, I've got 90 days to go. And it's a mountain. It is a mountain, and it's every single day. So it's not like just doing a week and then having a week off. And so, it's by 40, 50, 60, you're thinking, I still got a long time to go. So pacing yourself, keeping it really, really simple. So that I think for me, it's like, if you want to do a lot, you can. But if you don't feel that you've, so if you keep it simple to something very, very basic, if that's all you manage to do, you've done it. Whereas if you fail to start with, that you've failed or you're not keeping up to date, then the momentum to keep going is really hard. Whereas if you can think every day, oh, yeah, I've managed that today, then you're almost like keen to keep going and doing it the next day because you're actually building each day on another one.
Yes. It's like if you... you give up if you've set the bar so high. You're like, well, I can't reach it. What's the point? As opposed to like just keeping it super simple. Because if you achieve that, oh, cool. And then maybe one day you do a lot of extra stuff. And that's just like a added bonus.
Bonus. It is. And then, So with the ATCs, I might have cheated a little. And I didn't cheat. But I think if I'm right, it started on something like the 6th or 7th of April. So I started mine on the 1st. So I had a few days in hand. So when it started, I obviously started with the first one, but I had already, so that...
You already had a little bit going.
I had a little bit going. So if I had a day where, I don't know, something happened, it was almost like some... like get out of jail free cards, you know, it was sort of like it was allowed me to not have to necessarily, if I hadn't managed to finish one, I wasn't going to beat myself up because I, although I started a bit earlier, I did actually manage to do, but it was mentally, it was helpful because I knew I got some in the bag already done.
So this is like, this is like how much the get messy, like philosophy has gotten into my head. Last May, I had surgery on my knee. And when I was in physical therapy, I had this great physical therapist and he was so positive and so, just like the way he would support me and comment on what I was good at, even though, I mean, I wasn't in shape before anything like that, but just kind of the praise he gave and how he did it, I was thinking like, this is really a great example of how this sort of positive, like in setting the bar low, keeps us going to greater and greater things.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking it from that, from the art journaling perspective of just those little things, little positive steps to keep going forward.
And
that moment.
Yeah. And then at the end, you know, you've got a huge amount of something, but I would also do it, make it something that you really enjoy doing. Because if it's already a task, or so I wouldn't necessarily learn something new that you're going to sort of struggle with. So have something that is, to start with, you know, even easy, because you can always add, as I say, add to it, but just don't make it too complicated.
Yeah, definitely. So what tips then do you have for beginners?
Just keep going. Just don't, don't beat yourself up and don't think you need huge amounts of supplies. I think we all love supplies. We all love, I certainly, you know, love treating myself to things.
I do.
I think we all do. But sometimes when you're starting, that can become overwhelming. And that's not what it's about. It's not, because I know when, because I do travel journals as well, and I've, you know, the last few years when we've been away, I actually complete them completely when we're away. I don't bring them back unfinished. So sometimes just having one little bag or two bags with your scissors, a pen, a glue stick, you know, maybe a magazine, and a book, you can, and I think you actually use your imagination more than sitting here thinking, oh, crikey, what colour, shall I use that shade? Shall I use that shade? Or shall I use a golden one? Oh, I've got some liquid.
Right.
You know, it really can become very, very overwhelming. I think to start with, keep it simple, just keep it. And watch videos, watch other people, watch anything that you're going to suddenly later on or even think, oh yeah, that I can do that, or that goes with that. And suddenly there's been lots of light bulb moments for me when I sort of see somebody, or some of it goes over my head, but there'll be something that you will then use to build your sort of knowledge base and your process base. And there's lots and lots of free tutorials out there, people wanting to show you what they do.
I love creating alongside videos. I find it very like, I can't not do it with them. I'm just like, I can't just watch this. I have to do something.
Yes. Yeah. And you don't have to buy classes either. So, you know, there are classes out there, but there are people that are so happy to show you what they do. So if you just use YouTube, I mean, you can find everything and anything on the YouTube channel.
Yes.
So if you just, you know, if you've got a product and you're not sure what to do with it, whatever, just YouTube it, somebody else's interpretation of how they use it, and then try that for a little while. But certainly for beginners, just don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just, mm-hmm. and there are no rules.
No rules. So what do you do when you don't know what to make?
I think I probably would go to maybe some paints that I haven't used, because it's very easy sometimes just to keep picking out the ones you like and the ones at the bottom of the,
right.
the basket or the bag.
The same colors. Yeah.
So that's really helpful to have a look through and find something that you've not used, or a stencil. The season of less, I found with Barbara Graham, I think it was
mm-hmm, yeah.
I think that was just three colors, and I had three colors. Well, there were three colors,
yes.
with a white and a black. And for yep. me, that was inspirational, because I
yes.
managed to create so many new colors. And the beauty of that was, with like collage papers, they all go together,
mm-hmm.
because you've only used like three, and whatever you sort of put them or do with them, they all seem to just work, which is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But
well, and I think that goes back to what you were saying before about your travel journal and having just those limited supplies,
mm.
and actually taking out a lot of the choices helps you then to actually create.
Yeah,
I loved Season of Less for that same reason. I thought it was terrific.
Yes, no, I learned sort of a lot from that. But again, keeping it simple. I think that's definitely my motto, I think.
Your motto?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you find time to make things?
I think if you want to do it badly enough, then you will find time. Because I always try and think to myself, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. I sort of sleep for what, 7? So that's 17 hours, you know. And then when I start breaking it down, I'm thinking, I've got more than enough time, you know. And as we said, just sometimes a layer, or I think it's what your priorities are, because mm-hmm. I don't ever get up and wash my face. I don't ever get up and I don't brush my teeth, or I don't, you know, there's so many things that I do. I wouldn't ever think of not having breakfast or lunch or dinner. So mm-hmm. I think if you can incorporate that into your day, that actually it's important. It's a must do rather than a nice to do. And I think for my own creative well-being, I have to do it. You know, I have to do something, because that's what keeps me going. And what I just love every day is creating something.
I think, and I realized for a long time I did this, treating it like a necessity is so important, because I knew I wanted to do it, but I still would be like, well, I'll do it after I get, you know, like these other things I need to get done, chores, things like that. Mm. And I would treat it like a reward.
Mm.
And that just... And then, of course, it never happened, because there's always something to be done. I could always, you know, do more than just dust the parts of the house people can see, which I barely even do that. So, yeah, making it a necessity, not just like your reward for doing all your other things. But no, this is how I, like you said, this is how I relax, and relaxation is crucial. That's a necessity too.
It is.
I think that's a big mindset change for a lot of us. It took me a while.
Yes, because I think sometimes you feel selfish, or, you know, if I come up and I haven't, I don't know, emptied the dishwasher, or, you know, there's a pile of ironing. Well, so what? You know, that will be there tomorrow. I mean, now it's just my husband and I. But even when, you know, the kids were sort of growing up, well, you know, there's the ironing board, you know. If it's that important, then, you know, you need to learn how to do it. Because it is for my sanity. I have to be doing something.
Yeah, sanity, especially right now.
more. And I feel really sorry for people that don't have a creative outlet. I think, mm-hmm. you know, people that are reliant on either playing video games or not doing anything, it must be horrific. And I don't mm-hmm. mean that sort of badly, but I think lockdown, you know, we've been in lockdowns now for quite some time, on and off. Mm-hmm. And I do feel guilty sometimes because I'm happy. I'm happy at home. And I've got so many things that will keep me going, you know, not that I would want it because I don't see my granddaughters, but there's not a day where I think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do today? You know, yeah. There's always something that I can be doing and look forward to doing.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Well, Julie, that's all my questions. I'm so glad and so thankful that you joined and also did this again with me. We had a bit of a, when I was just learning things, we had a bit of a have a restart. So Julie's been very patient with me. So I'm working my way through the Get Messy community and there's more to come. Julie, do you have any last thoughts or anything you want to share?
No, but I would just say to anybody that's got any questions or not sure about anything, the Get Messy community is fabulous. There'll be somebody out there that knows the answer. So don't ever think, you know, oh, I'm either stuck or, you know, I don't know what to do or I can't carry on because I've not done X, Y, and Z. You know, put it out there because somebody will have the answer. Somebody will put you on the right tracks to continuing. And good luck.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for tuning in and we will see you next time.